we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for choosing to spend a little bit of time feeding your soul with the Word of God. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here. I don't say this every broadcast like I used to, but if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and worship with us at Merritt Assembly of God. Our address is 165 North Grove Street, 165 N period Grove Street, if you're typing it into your phone. We're on Merritt Island. We're two blocks north of 520, and we're two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. If you're coming from the mainland and looking for the shortest route, turn left on Tropical Trail. We're two blocks to the east of Tropical Trail, and we're that pretty much tells you about a block and a half, two blocks south of Merritt Avenue. We're right in the heart of what used to be known as Merritt Park Place. So I was driving down the road the other day with my son. The church that I served at before I came to Merritt Assembly of God was one block off of the main thoroughfare. And we were driving down the road. We were driving beachside, and I saw a church, and I said, I've never seen that church before. And it was one to two blocks off of the main thoroughfare. And Merritt Assembly of God is two blocks off of just about every main artery that you can find, or secondary artery. And I just turned to my son and I said, you know, back in the 1960s, there must have been the popular mindset that you wanted to get a piece of property that was two blocks off of the main thoroughfare. And so, but now with everybody having GPS on their phone and stuff like that, you ought to be able to find us pretty easily. If you're in the central part of the county, we would love to have you be able to join with us. We had a lady that was visiting. She was down from up north, and I talked to her briefly, and then my wife was talking to her, and she was explaining the situation that had brought her down to Florida, just on a temporary basis. And when she was talking to my wife realized that there was a person in the church that was very close to where this lady was staying. And so she made a connection there between the visitor and our neighbor, and our neighbor, she just got a memory like nobody I've ever encountered. The very first time this lady ever visited our church was on an Easter Sunday. And when she showed up, she remembered everybody's name that she met. I was like, how do you do that? I sometimes have a hard time remembering my own. That's not true. I remember my name. I'm not real good with names. But this lady said, oh, and then she told her who she was related to. And turns out that this lady was staying two doors down from where we were. The visitor just turned to my wife and said, thank you so much for connecting, because there were needs that lady was having, that now she had someone in the neighborhood, a point of contact. And she said, you know what? I am so thankful that you helped us with this connection. There were some family decisions that were going to be made and all that sort of stuff. And now, pool people and lawn people and all of that sort of stuff. Now she had someone that she could talk to. You see, we don't view church as just a Sunday morning gathering. We like to be problem solvers. We like to create a family type atmosphere. where, you know, if you're down here, when we first came to Florida, we didn't know anybody. I knew the name of my boss. That was it. Every relationship that we have down here is a relationship that we built down here. And so we like that family dynamic. If you do not have a church family, a church home, we encourage you to come to Merit Assembly of God. Check us out. You might find that God would have you to worship with us. If you don't, hey, you know what? There's 31 different flavors of ice cream. There are a lot of different churches. Not everybody is going to fit at Merit Assembly of God. If you're looking for a mega church, you know, there are some mega churches around. Merit Assembly of God isn't one. We like to think that we have the impact that is bigger than our congregation size, but we don't have a cap on how big we're going to get. We just want to reach more people with the love of Jesus. That's where we are with that. Yesterday, we were talking about Psalm 119, that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And today, I want to give you just a little bit of a brief look at what the opposite of that looks like. Proverbs chapter 6 is an interesting proverb. Proverbs were written by Solomon. Verses 16 through 19 describe six things that the Lord hates. And you know, I think that if God hates it, we ought to avoid it to the best of our ability. So these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Those are things that we ought to avoid a great deal. Verse number 23 is a verse that I want to draw your attention to today, but I'm going to start reading here at verse number 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts. Solomon was in admonishing those that when you're given instructions, whether it's your father, your mother, whether it's your pastor, or whether it's the word of God, that you take those instructions and you do whatever is necessary to keep them in front of you. Now, one of the things that I do is I make notes in my Bible. Some people think that is sacrilegious. It's actually helpful for me. Some people make Facebook memes. Some people make notes and put them on their refrigerator. I've got some things that I've done through the years that I actually made little business cards for. I've got one on resolve that I did. I said, you know what? I can tell you exactly what year that I put that together. That was in the year 1996. 1996. I've had those cards around for that long. And they said, man, I just noticed this. And so the thing is, we want to take the steps that are necessary to keep the Word of God highlighted in our life and hidden in our heart, because when we hide His Word in our heart, we don't sin against Him. How does this have any bearing on light? It says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Now, I want to begin this program today not on encouraging you with the benefits of walking in obedience, but on sharing with you the consequence of rejecting the Word of God. And that is, if the Word of God is a lamp and it's a light unto our path, and the law of God is a light, it brings illumination and breakthrough into our life, then rejecting the Word of God is done at our own peril. It brings us our own pain, and it causes those who reject God's Word to exist in darkness. Now, most of the time, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. Most of the time. But when I find people who are doing things that endanger their children, or others are going to suffer because of their actions, it especially if it's kids, it causes some change in my attitude. It doesn't make me happy. And the same is true with spiritual truth. If I reject spiritual truth and I choose to dwell in darkness, that's one level of consequence for me. It's a very high price to pay. It's not a price that God wants you to pay. I don't recommend that you do it, but there ends up being collateral damage, and that's especially where it gets to be unacceptable. You see, if a husband chooses to reject God's Word and chooses to live in darkness, then his spouse is going to suffer because of that. His parents may suffer because of that. And if he's a parent, his kids may be negatively impacted. Then it stretches out to grandkids and neighbors and all of that sort of stuff. And I want to ask you, at what point in time does living in spiritual darkness become too expensive for us to live in? There are laws in place now that impact smokers, because society realized that there were dangers of secondhand smoke. And they said, you know what, those dangers require us to pass some laws, because we don't want other people suffering because of somebody's bad decisions. Well, I want to ask you, what are the ramifications for secondhand darkness? What do you suppose it's going to look like when we have to stand before God as a nation and say, God, we intentionally deprived kids of the influence of the light of your Word? I don't want to be the one responsible for that. I don't want to be the one that has to make that call. I don't want to be the one that compelled my kids to live in darkness. I don't like that. I don't want to be the reason someone rejects God. I want to have given them plenty of reasons to embrace the truth of God's Word. So I encourage you today, do not be a person who rejects God's Word and chooses to live in darkness, because it will not just be you that suffers as a result of that. And we're going to move on over to another passage today, Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. We did quite a lengthy series of programs on Isaiah chapter 5, or the whole book of Isaiah. And today I'm just going to focus on four verses, verse number 20 here on the last half of the program. Verse number 20 says this: "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man." The Bible here in these four verses describes three, four, five, six things that are lamentable. They're woeful. They're not going to leave you happy at the end. And so I wanted to take a little bit of time, because one of these six has to do with light. The first thing that it talks about is that redefining what God has already defined is a lamentable condition. That's what happens in verse number 20. The God is saying through the prophet Isaiah that it is a woeful thing to falsely redefine a term that God has already defined. And you can see that happens in America. It's happened a great deal over the past several years. So let's look at these three redefinitions that are lamentable, that will result in woe instead of blessing and happiness. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. When you redefine what is good and what is evil, and you change and alter and actually create a diametrically opposed definition to what God has defined it, God says you are not going to find that is going to work out well for you in the end. Okay? You and I, we've got to guard our hearts and guard our souls very carefully. Redefining things is a very challenging thing. And we have the ability as human beings to rationalize our behavior, and we can make ourselves feel like we're justified and right in what we are doing. And all the time God is saying, that's not what I meant when I said that. And I've heard many people that say, you know what, you have to be careful when talking with this person here, because they will redefine the terms for you. Okay. And so whenever we choose to try and redefine what is evil and redefine what is pleasing and acceptable in God's sight, that's a very dangerous place to be. The second lamentable condition is people who redefine darkness and light. There are people now who have done the first. They've re-identified good and evil. That which is evil they call good, and that which is good in God's sight they now call evil. And what they will do is they will choose to say this, that they are living an enlightened life, when in actuality, God would tell them that they are living a blinded life. They are now living with veils over their eyes. They do not discern. They do not see what they are doing. There are people who will choose to embrace the darkness and reject the light. That is never going to work out well for you. And so I just want to encourage you, don't redefine darkness and light. The Bible talks about people living in darkness, and how great is that darkness. Okay? If you find yourself living in an poorly illuminated condition or a non-illuminated condition, if you find yourself living in darkness today, I don't want you to stay there. I want to invite you into that light of revelation that God has for you. The third thing is people who redefine bitterness and sweetness. Bitterness and sweetness. Okay? They mislabel things that are going to be ingested by people part of the intake. They're going to become part of the diet of other people, and you don't want to mislead people to say, you know what, when you have this, it is going to be very, very sweet, and when you take this, it's going to be very, very bitter. And you try and deprive people of one thing and force upon them something that is going to be very bitter in the end. A few weeks ago, I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, a pastor that I'd worked for in Texas came to remembrance. I ended up calling him, talking to him, got to pray with him on the phone. But he will always stand out because he was the one that introduced our newborn son to lemons. We were after church one day, he took us out to eat to a Chinese restaurant in a very small community, and he was a big drinker of sweet tea. And he's not a big drinker of sweet tea anymore. But he had lemon in it. This is deep in East Texas. And he took that lemon and he gave it to my son. My son didn't know what a lemon tasted like. And so he started sucking on it. And all of a sudden, he got that full bitter taste of that lemon. And he got this real puckery look on his face. And he closed his eyes and he shook his head. And then he went back and he got some more. And you know, it was humorous as a child, but my son doesn't drink or doesn't do lemons all of the time. You don't want to be living on bitterness. Bitterness, when it's a steady diet of bitterness, it will disqualify you for ministry, and I can prove that to you in the scriptures. You don't want the root of bitterness in your life because it'll produce a harvest of bitterness. Don't redefine bitterness for other people because they might be thinking they're living the sweet life and they're living a life filled with bitterness. There are other people who may be living the sweet life and they're under the perception that life is just absolutely horrible. Listen, as a child of God, you're living the sweet life. You really are. No matter what you're going through, most of civilization in the history of mankind never had it as good as you've got it right now. If you don't believe me, turn off your air conditioner, roll down your window, and all of a sudden you will feel blessed if that air conditioner is working, because my vehicle, the AC, doesn't work, and I'm telling you, AC is a blessing that you can appreciate. Three more things here. These are going to be pretty quick because we're running out of time. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. You and I, if we consider ourselves to be the epitome of wisdom, and we don't realize that we're in need of wisdom, we're gonna be depriving ourselves of truths that we could have known simply if we hadn't have been so stinking arrogant. And I did say that. Arrogance is a putrefying smell. It's a horrid scent in the nostrils of God. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble, and it is a lamentable condition. It is a condition to be pitied when a person feels like they have reached the extent of their wisdom for man, and they position themselves as an unteachable person. verse number 22. This won't get you many amens in our current society. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. Now, I don't want you to feel like you got a pass if you're a lady and you're addicted to alcohol. There are many who are, and that is not something that you want to be bragging about. Okay? The world kind of makes it a mockery. Well, that person just can't hold their liquor. You know what? I don't want any liquor to hold. I want to be sound in mind and sound in intellect. I don't want anything stealing the ability to make sound decisions from my mind. Listen, I don't care what your past has been like. If you don't want to, God's word says that you do not want to be a champion at mixing or partaking of alcoholic beverages. You and I, He's got something better for us. We're not looking for an escape from reality. We are looking to change reality. And the only way that you can do that in a good way is to be sober in your way of thinking. So one more lamentable condition to avoid if you want to be light to the world. Woe to those who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. You and I, if we are going to light up our world for the good, for the glory of God, we cannot be people who are for sale. We have got to be people of principle, people of truth, people who are not looking for an anecdotal reason not to do something. We've got to be willing to say, you know what? We are going to be people of justice, and we are going to do the right thing. We're not going to be blessing wickedness at the expense of righteousness. Too much of that has gone on in America. We're not going to do that anymore. You know, one of the things that I like to encourage people to do is don't be indebted to anybody. And if you're in a position where you got to make a difficult decision, and in making that difficult decision, it's going to have a negative impact on your financial bottom line, let me just speak a word of testimony. God is bigger than your problem. Do the right thing. Don't cave in and say, I'm going to do this because it's better for the finances. Do the right thing because it is the right thing to do. Let God handle the finances. I can testify, He will take care of you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."